Hello, and welcome to episode 265 of the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where the small press makes one hell of a big noise. I'm Vince Hunt, writer of MI666, and joining me this week are the creator of Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The father of the nuclear son of a god, it's Tony Esmond.
That's complicated.
I know, it's quite hard to say.
Yeah.
But,
Thank you, hello.
Yes, and we have another guest this week. This week we're joined by a creator of comics, such as Bell Time, Break the Cake, and Mount a Rescue. He's also a podcaster. Yes, we've got a rival on the show. And like our Tony, an encyclopedia of comics knowledge.
Yeah.
It's Dave Robertson. Hello, sir.
Hello, everyone.
Hello, Dave.
Everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure.
That comic smell is sort of like the brother-in-law to the ACP that comes over at Christmas and drinks all the good booze.
It's a dark.
I hate my brother-in-law.
Oh, dear. Yes, yes. We love that comic smell. In general, actually, as well as the podcast. So, and we've been talking about getting Dave on the show for quite some time. So thank you for joining us this week, Dave. We'll be getting into Dave's work. And Dave's joined us for quite... We're just going to have fun for the next few weeks. We've lined up some ideas for the next few weeks and months of shows. Well, we're just going to fucking have fun because otherwise, what else are we going to do? So be prepared for a lot of laughs and a lot of creativity, I think, because we've got competitions on the go. We're going to come up with some crazy ideas on this particular show. I say that. We could come up with nothing. But, we've got a fun little... game. We're kind of a game. It's more of a creative exercise, isn't it? I don't want to say that because that makes it sound like there's going to be a slideshow. Someone's done a PowerPoint of some kind.
Sex charades.
Yeah, sex charades. Is that one word? Sex charades.
It's my new board game.
All right.
How do you rate the instructor at the end of the course?
Do you rate his professionalism? Yeah. I never rate high.
No. Much like this show. And
you liar. We got 5 stars.
Yeah, five star reviews.
Somebody
gave us 4 stars, and I'm quite prepared to happily kill them.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if no one liked this show, we.
Because I know what people are like. They'll go and give us 1 star for a laugh now, won't they?
No, they shouldn't.
Please don't.
Cut this bit, Vince. But we've got something, a little game lined up of sorts, haven't we?
Yeah.
So. But someplace where else you can have lots of fun and games.
Oh, you beat me to it. Where else can you find lots of fun, Dan?
Comichouse.com.
Ah, yes. If you don't know by now. Or if this is your first time checking out the show, Comic House are our sponsor. And they're an indie comic marketplace. There's a huge selection of titles on Comichouse.com. From creators all over the world. If you self-publish yourself, you can list your book on there for free, start selling straight away. If you've got boxes of hard copies that you just need to get out the door, it's another avenue to sell. And they have an app, which we talk about week on week, and we're trying to round as many people onto it as we can, like some sort of comics ranchers. Yeehaw. Which should be the code, shouldn't it, really?
Double denim.
Yeah, double denim. Oh, Tony Esmond's double denim.
I love a bit of double denim. Never the same colour, though. It's always slightly different tones.
Yeah. What you mean, it's the same colour, just different shades?
Yeah. Different shades.
Like
so light blue jeans, dark blue jacket.
You got cowboy boots?
I told you the story about when I bought cowboy boots. I thought it was brilliant. And then I got really fucking drunk, and then I couldn't get them off. So I felt I had to sleep with them with my trousers around my ankles.
And he's wearing them to this day, which is why he's the vigilante known as the cowboy.
Never buy boots when you're pissed.
You were pissed when you bought them.
How did he get them off in the end?
They didn't get them off till the following morning.
Did you cut them off?
No, just had to. Eventually they came off, but couldn't get falling over and stuff. You know how it is.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, sadly.
Yeah. We've all been there with our cowboy boots. but you can find, never mind cowboy boots, we're talking about comics. The Comic House app is basically our Netflix for comics. Subscription only £3 a month, which is less than probably one of the cheaper comics these days.
Fucking hell. What is going on in the world?
We're going to talk about that in a sec. But for £3, you get access to an enormous library of digital indie comics, which is growing all the time. What's on there at the moment, Dan?
We've got Woodland Creatures, Volume 1, Teddy Boy, Issue 6, Symbolism, Rewired. I think that's a standalone comic. And we've got The Fist, Volume 1, all four issues of that. Death Inc., Book 3, by our friend Charles Raymond. And Jump Scare Presents, Peel, by B.C. Brown, Volume 2. And many, many more.
Lovely. Dave, you've got some stuff in Comic House, haven't you?
Yeah, I do. I've got Mount Rescue and The Bell Time.
Oh, wow. Nice. Like some of his more recent releases.
Yeah,
so you can head over to Comic House and check out Dave's work immediately. Or, well, you could do it now. You know, if you're one of those people that has, like, listening to this.
We're just going to be talking nonsense. To be fair, you probably need something else to occupy yourself while you have this.
Yeah. Dave's going to be the only thing worth listening to on this show. Yeah, so if you go to comichouse.com, you can find all of those books for more. Find out about the 14-day free trial. Dive headfirst into the amazing world of small press we talk about every week. I'm not sure if the code's still working at the moment, is it?
For the extra month? I don't know.
Yeah. Sure it is. I'm sure it is. With the code Stay Safe, you get an extra month. We will clarify that for next week's show. But I'm sure it is, because Pete and the Comic House guys are doing as much as they can to get comics out to people. And also, if you're a small press or indie pub like creator, and you've got like all ages books that you want to get out there, like, get in touch with Comic House, because they're saying they want to set up a section where there's like parental controls and stuff. So if you want to block all the smut that we create, so your kids don't read it, you'll be able to do that, and they can just read great books like, you know, like The Spark and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? Get in touch with them. Go to comichouse.com to find out more. That was quite an informative and well thought out.
Amazing sort of advert, amazing. That's why it pays us the big money, man. I'll tell you, that's why it is. He knows how good we are at this shit.
Yeah. And that's why we get all that cool swag, Comic House swag. Yeah.
You've got a hat.
I've worn the hat so many times, and I've washed it, that it's gone out of shape.
Oh, he wants a new hat, Pete. He wants a new hat.
If you're listening, Pete. Anyone out there, I have quite a large head.
I've got a huge melon head as well. Yeah. It's while we're actually related. Well, you won't grow a beard again, because you say we look the same.
We pretty much do at the moment. And Dan Butcher, you've got quite the cranium, haven't you?
Yes.
Although you did put your face onto some sexy models for me today, which is good.
Anything for you. No, Vince introduced me to that. Is it Reface app?
Reface, yeah. So I mean, all these people have got our information now. They've got our information now, haven't they? But
Russians are coming for you, my friend. Yeah. Wild Goose sent me the same. Wild Goose is all over it today as well. He keeps sending me pictures of himself.
Yeah. but apart from us putting our faces onto other people, which sounds fucking terrifying when you put it like that, and comics in general, like we said, we're going to start off with a... No, actually, I was talking about digital comics, and I want to bring that up.
Yeah.
Because I think, did I post... I posted something earlier in the week from Wednesday's New Comic Book Day. Naturally, I go to Comixology or whatever and check out what the new releases are. Since the price hike, I don't buy as much as I used to, but I'm always looking for indie gems. And I have to... And I just want a bit of clarification and discussion on this before I just... fire with both barrels before we start going meh, 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 because I don't have, you know, I've just looked at the prices, so this is a judgment I've made, which is ridiculous, so I want to get more information about it. Looking at the digital books that were released on Wednesday, you got your standard sort of big two books, and there was issue one of the new Marvel event, which is called, what's it called, Tony?
Empire
with a Y, because it's called...
Because it's Pyre, that's part of it.
Yeah.
The it's up to 3 now. You sure it wasn't issue 3? Because I think 3 came out this week.
Who knows with their release schedule? Okay. All I knew was there was an issue on there, and it was a digital issue, and it was £4.79. Now, for a single issue, right? I'm not gonna go off on one yet, because sometimes when I look at these prices and I see there for like trades that are on offer, you know, there's things like that. You know, if you're getting 160 pages of comics, I've been known to bend the rules. I've spent £5-6 on like a big collection of something on Comixology. I'm not gonna be a hypocrite and say I haven't spent that money on that.
Yeah, me too, man.
So I thought What are the pages of this new Marvel book? This must be huge for £4.79. And what was it, about 30 pages?
Yes, that actually, I think.
Is what it says in Comixology?
Some of it isn't necessarily story pages.
So, yeah. Just explain. You've obviously got it. You've read it.
I've read it, yeah. Yeah. It's a filler issue, man. There's nothing outstanding happens in it. There's a nice moment with the Thing, which is kind of all right.
But this is the event series, isn't it? This is the event series. It's not a tie-in.
This is the actual event. It's issue three in a, whatever it is, six-issue series, and they're stringing out the middle bit, man. That's all they're doing. It's boring. It's rubbish. It's uninteresting. It's just them doing that while we wait for the next event. I'd say the Savage Avengers by Greg Smallwood's on the art, which is like a spin-off I bought because I'm a Conan fan, and that's much better. And it's something actually happens in it, and it's not just like a messy mess of colour of loads of characters and none of whom spark any kind of interest.
It's interesting you say that, you know, about the story, and with a lot of these events, they're normally about, what, six or seven issues? Seven or eight or something like that, aren't they? And there is the natural, you know, it's like a TV show, the natural mid-season bit where you've got to do the build-up for the end, so there's naturally going to be ebbs and flows to the rhythm of a story. And I haven't read it, so I can't judge it on the quality of that, but I will judge the price for a digital.
What's that per page? Can you figure it out? What was the original price?
$4.79 was what I read for 30 pages.
Right. Okay, I'll use a calculator because I'm not very clever.
You use a calculator at home. Sarah, you're out there. We know you're good with finances, so let us know what it is.
I don't even know if I can do it with a calculator. It's confused me now suddenly.
Yeah, I just... it boggles me. I mean, that price for the printed book, fair enough if you want to pay for it.
It seems quite expensive for the single issue of a comic.
Yeah, it is. But you know, if they're slapping on the whole event thing, and like
about 16 pence a page.
If you want to pay this money for this stuff, then fine. And if you're happy reading it, and if you like it, that's more power to you. You know, if you just love comics, that's all I've got to say. But I think
they're relying on
digital pricing from these.
I think they definitely rely on people not wanting to miss out on an event.
Mm.
So it goes up for full price, which is too much.
Yeah.
And then people buy it because they want to read it straight away before it gets ruined or something on Twitter or Bleeding Cool or something, you know.
Yeah.
And then it goes down in price. And, you know, I was looking at some Yusagis this week and they were 72 pence each or something. And you think, that's right. I don't mind that.
Yeah. Mm. No problem. Yeah. I bought that Hawkeye run, the David Arjun one, and it was like fiver for the whole, all of it. And it's like, fine.
Yeah, you don't read digital, do you, Dave? As I'm right in thinking?
Not really, no. Do you know, I often think that having comics digitally, it's almost like not having them, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I have a book that I write down all the comics I buy in, and I never include digital purchases. I don't know why, it just doesn't seem to me instinctually like I own it, you know.
Yeah.
It's a ghost collection almost, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
In some way.
If I don't know the creator too well in a Kickstarter project, say I'll back their project like for the PDF and read it.
Mm.
And if they come out with a second issue, as like, I really liked that, I'll buy the print of the one and two.
Yeah.
Like I did with Our Final Halloween. Should have gone in print on straight away, but.
Yeah. I mean, I personally read a lot of my comics digitally. Because of this show, we read a hell of a lot of comics digitally.
Me too, yeah.
And certainly with the Kickstarter and those amazing creators that we support from wherever you are in the world. If we can't afford the postage, then we're gonna pledge.
I mean, for that reason, also for a completely and utterly, the only way you can get it is digitally, because some people now don't release their books physically. I know Marvel have gone that way, haven't they, with some tiers?
Yeah,
it's going that way. We won't, you know, it's just going to slowly degrade. Where in 10 years' time, it will just be collections.
Yeah, but it just feels like that kind of price from a bigger publisher for that many pages. It's sort of like. It just feels like they're ripping off the people that just want to read it now.
It's art as well, and if it was like the best artist ever, you know, if like Jim Starlin had spent a year on each page and stuff, I dig it, but it's not. It's just another wanked off fucking event series.
And before anyone says anything, yes, we know comics take a lot of work, and across the board. there's a lot of work that goes in. But I can also tell you this, there's a lot of hard-working people that are putting out comics that you can get a hell of a lot cheaper digitally.
There's a lot of also. There's also a lot of very hard-working people who don't earn that much.
Exactly.
Who are spending it on these books, and they're increasingly bleeding us dry, and no one else is coming into the hobby.
Yeah, if you wanted someone to come into the hobby and you're asking them to lay down a fiver for a 20-30-page comic, a Netflix subscription is what, 7-8 quid a month? It's not much.
They're just going to laugh at you.
Yeah, they won't just won't engage.
Yeah.
Is this
just a no-brainer?
How does the Marvel Unlimited app work, Tony? Is that day and date? Would you get Empire as soon as?
No, it's 6 months behind, and not everything's on it. But
six months.
Yeah, well, it depends, but because of the lockdown, they haven't added a huge amount. But it's not everything's on it, so there's like the odd issue of Daredevil here, for example, the odd issue, you know, Defenders, whatever it's going to be, that isn't on there.
You talked about that. That's good value, isn't it? The Marvel.
It is really good value, man. It is. It's I think is it $8.99 a month or something like that, and I definitely get my money's worth out of it. You know, I read 10-20 comics off it a month.
Nice.
And it's really worth it. I did me and Dave talked about Star Wars recently, and I read the issue off the Marvel app. It's brilliant.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, you know, it's not like they're not, we're not going to say Marvel, you're evil. You know, their app's really good. I would have thought like a pricing structure like that is, why pay this much when you can get our app and get it cheaper? But 6 months, by the time it's 6 months, it'll probably be on off, it'll be on sale anyway.
Well, the thing is as well, by the time I read pile, like some issues I read straight away and some I sort of just put off. Mm. And some of them will get to 6 months, you know?
Gotcha.
So I might as well have the app instead. Mm. I'm prone not to buy Marvel trades actually because of it. I'll be honest with you, because the issues will be on there.
Interesting. I mean, look, if you're buying these, I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably won't spend that much on a digital book anyway. Or a lot of our listeners probably don't read digitally as well.
Can I give a shout out to a digital bundle which I think's worth checking out?
Oh yes, you talked about this earlier on online, I think, as well, didn't you?
The Humble Bundle for Humanoids.
Yeah,
they're doing this out. Pay 78p or more, and you get the bundle, and you get digital versions of the Incal volumes 1-6, Barbarella 1-2, the Twilight Man.
That's Battery good, man. Prime, Twilight Man's really good. Yeah,
and you can pay another 78p and you get like another 5 titles each with like 4 or 5 issues in.
Is that a saucy one you liked about Christmas?
You got to get up to 1180. That's what
right,
I had
to get the dirty one. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. with the Humble Bundles, you have the cheap tiers and you get more based on whatever you give, don't you? That's
yeah.
But it's like the 12 quid thing, what you spend in, I don't know, about 15 quid, and there's fucking comics there you'd be reading fucking for weeks.
Yeah.
Louise is on it as well, which is a really good book. I saw.
Is that the one that you talked about, the time?
Where she goes, meets herself. Yeah. It's really good. Really well done. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've never read Cathargo, and you guys absolutely loved that, and that's got issues.
Oh, I didn't realize you hadn't read that, man. Oh, okay. Yeah, get on that, man, straight away.
Yeah. I'll definitely get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Humble Bundles are no joke as well. A lot of people talk about them like all the time, about like, you know, the great deals and stuff you can get on them. And like, I certainly in the past, I think there was an Image Humble Bundle once where I got a ridiculous amount of
I did the Dynamite one a few years ago, and really good. Yeah.
It has got Ignited in there, which isn't that great.
That's got what, sorry?
Ignited.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a bit of a stinker.
The thing is that, you know, it's tons of
rough
comics.
Rough with the smooth.
Yeah. Tons of comics for the price.
And there's tons of Jorodowski stuff in there.
No. Yeah, I always wonder how, because the H1 series is aware of social issues. Let's put it that way. And Jodorowsky doesn't give two fucks about social issues. Let's put it that way as well. And I always wonder how the two of them meet in the middle somewhere. Yeah,
there is a mention at the top saying like this is not in these words, but it does say it's a bit spicy. This
Megalex as well, I think, is on there, and that's like fucking hell. There's people just with their boobs out for no reason. Yeah.
That is the reason.
Much like this show. You're absolute beasts. So if you see a price you don't agree with, look somewhere else, because there's going to be some amazing comics somewhere that you'll find for a decent price, whether it be the physical, the digital, or whatever.
But charity shops.
Yeah, don't forget. These sort of things will always be an issue of some way.
And everyone kicking off. I remember people kicking off in fanzines when it went from 12p to 15p or something, you know. But then again, that's 3p.
You know, it's just something I just think with a digital product, I think there's a certain limit to it. You shouldn't ask people to, you know, especially
when it's stuff like, and they do this with their hard copies as well, when they release these Epic collections, and the Epic collections aren't cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you think it's like 30 quid for a book that's 50 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
But, there we go.
Once again, we haven't had a little rant about the digital pricing for probably 2 weeks. So, and we'll talk about it again in the future, probably. But we're going to have some fun now with our good friend David.
Yes.
Because Dan Butcher had this idea. Whenever he throws us a curveball sometimes, he's like a little Albert Einstein working away in his lab thinking, what fun idea can I have to make the show go off the rails? No, to make it a little bit different. And you saw a product. I think we should discuss the product first before we get into what we're going to test it out. So, Dan,
are you still there, by the way, Dave? I'm a bit worried you've run off.
I'm here.
Good. Yeah, just checking.
He's just eating his grapes. He told us he had grapes before the show. So
that's a good choice.
He lives a high life.
Peeled grapes, obviously. I don't know why you'd ever want to eat peeled grapes. The pop of eating them is the part of the fun, surely.
Yeah. Does Mike come around and ever peel your grapes, Dave? Or?
Not if you're familiar.
He'd like to, but I'm off, you know.
So I saw this online. It's called Narrata Storytelling Cards. They're created by Kent Jensen and Rolf Jensen. And I'll read some of the blurb off the back. A powerful brainstorming tool for actors, novelists, screenwriters, comic creators, game designers, filmmakers, designers, and all kinds of storytellers and creative persons. So essentially, you've got 200 of these cards. And there's several kind of like games or setups you can use. And the one we're going to do is like the basic set where we shuffle the cards, draw out three, and we're all going to make up try and pitch like a comic or a comic idea out of what we get. And you get different cards like characters, creatures, societies, goals, activities, events, stuff like that. So it's really just going to be coming up with ideas as the cards kind of come out.
It's almost like, and picture the scene, folks. It's a smoky ball pen, and like there's Dave, Tony, Dan, and Vince are sitting around smoking their cigars, complaining about the world in general. And then an editor bursts through the door and says, "Right, we're releasing a comic next week, and I want it to be this, this, and this.
Yeah,
take it away." Which probably isn't that far away from how a lot of the comics that we consider to be classics are created, because they're just told.
Somebody comes in the room and says, "Right, we need another cosmic event. The Skrull and Krees are going to be involved in it, and they're fighting a load of plants."
Yeah.
Now Ewan goes, "It's probably my turn, isn't it?" And he writes a load of meh. He writes a load of rubbish like Empire. Yeah. There you go.
Ooh. So we're just going to have a bit of fun just trying to brainstorm.
But they do get stuff like that when you say, "Oh, Star Wars is big. We need to fucking come up with an idea like Star Wars. It's in space." Yeah. And Boomerang is Rom the Space Knight or stuff like that. I don't think those coincided, so don't at me.
Yeah. Wasn't Rom a toy? Was Rom a toy?
Rom was a toy first, yeah.
Anyway,
can you think of a comic that launched off the back of space Star Wars kind of stuff, Tony? Or Dave?
Oh, Star Hunters. Is that about the same time?
I don't know.
I think maybe. Yeah.
I have to bow to your wisdom there.
Just saying that one. My problem. Yeah.
Star Hunters.
Yeah.
Star Hunters.
Yeah. You've read that, Dave, haven't you?
I've never heard of that.
Dave, you're my mate. You're meant to back me up on this show.
Yeah, Star Hunters was great. It was a pity it only ran for 14 issues, though, because, you know.
Good man. See? Dave's a good lad.
Well, if you're at home sort of shouting, "I know the comic," right then, tell us.
Star Seeker 3000.
Oh, yeah, Seeker 3000. Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know what's real and what's not anymore. Are you just making things up?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, okay. So how is this going to work, Dan?
We had a brief discussion before, and I think what we're going to do is do a couple of rounds and see how we get on. We've not done this before, so we don't know how it's going to go.
And okay, the car,
there's we're going to give it a sexy edge.
Yeah. So we're going to do a few rounds of it. And if you feel inspired, any creative people out there, as you're listening, if you want to sketch up whatever madness we're about to talk about, feel free to do it and post it up in the group talk later.
This also factors into the our competition we're running in the Facebook page.
Yes.
Because writers will be taking the character name that we've come up with, which we're going to announce later in the show, and coming up with their pitch for a story. So this is how we go about our creative process. It's not, we don't draw cards and think up stories, but it can be a useful tool for kind of getting the grey matter pumping.
Yeah.
But we're just going to machine gun it. Just going to see how it goes. So how's it going to work? We're going to get dealt three cards, Dan. How's this going to work?
Yeah, so I'll tell you what.
Dan's going to read them out.
I'll go for you. You start, Vince, and then myself, Tony and Dave, we can pitch in with ideas if Vince is stumbling, but I don't think he will be.
He's an ideas machine.
You're setting me up to fail.
So we've got the first cover.
This is
robot,
how Image Vince. Started, by the way. Go on, right, go on.
Robot. So you can have like theme park, high-tech military, vending machine, wheelchair.
And so that's just all under robot, isn't it?
Then the subhead into various ideas can spin off. The second card, we've got wheelchair. So you think motorized, accident, sickness, veteran.
So the first card was robot.
Robot. Second one, wheelchair.
Right.
And the third one, hunting.
Hunting.
Right. Okay.
You can have that in any order. Any order.
Any order. Well, I'm going to, just off the top of my head, a dinosaur hunter, because dinosaur hunters are always cool with comics, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
But they're actually in a wheelchair, but it's like a robotic sort of like AI type, you know, that is full of weapons and stuff like that. Yeah. So they're basically in a savage land sort of world. I imagine it probably real retro. Let's have them be a multi-zillionaire, and they found this lost island in the middle of Pacific.
Oh, I love all that sort of thing.
Yeah. Lost island, and they basically, people think he's dead, but he really just shipped all his stuff over there, created a huge sort of like base, you know. So he's got that, you know where you've got the statues and you pull a statue and then all of a sudden everything flips over. So he's got all these weapons, and he's probably got a few people that work with him. There's probably, I don't know, let's say a journalist there to sort of, you know, the reader, as it were. And then he goes out and he hunts dinosaurs.
Once, if the story started with someone landing or crashing on the island, not knowing what the fuck was going on.
That's totally what it's got to be, isn't it? Someone's a helicopter. It'd be cool if it was sort of almost 70s styly, 70s themed.
It's a bit like the island of Dr. Moreau, where he's washed up.
Yeah.
And he meets a robot, and he realises he's in trouble because he's on this island.
What, so he meets the robot on the island?
Yeah, he meets as he's pulling himself up, I don't mean like that, on the beach out of the sea.
Yeah.
And there's a robot. He passes out just at the feet of a robot. So the comic starts on that.
Yeah,
the first splash page edges with just these robotic feet and his head passed out on the floor. And the page two, he comes to in this sort of grand palace of this bloke in a wheelchair who's a zillionaire who's breeding dinosaurs.
So how would you end up
breeding dinosaors to hunt them?
And have sex with them.
Well, the sex is going to happen at some point.
So how would it end up, like the kind of everything going absolutely tits up, like it usually does in
I don't see this as a like a four-issue miniseries. I see this as like, you know, your classic Marvel, just keep going. Do you know what I mean?
Dinosaur riders, and they're riding across the country.
Dino Riders was a range of toys in the 80s, which I remember, so it wouldn't be them. What sort of character, a dinosaur hunting sort of billionaire?
Chainsaw sword.
Probably look like Oliver Reed.
Yeah. Like me.
A bit like Tony.
Yeah.
Slightly less muscular, otherwise it's not believable.
And what sort of, just think like a heroic Kraven the Hunter kind of thing, really.
With the handlebar.
Yeah, he's got to be the handlebar. Probably, he's got the silver wings. Do you know what I mean? He's got the Doctor Strange, Reed Richards, silver parts. Yeah.
So if he's 70s, would he have like a bit of a harem of ladies?
Yeah, he's got a Burt Reynolds chest on him. You know, hairy.
Yep. He must, there's So, I mean, the thing is, he's going to be, and this, I'm about to be real now, he's going to be disabled, but he's going to be the most able person in the book. Maybe that's what
cleverest I'm person, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And just think of all those cool ways that the chair itself, the robotic chair, I mean, once it, you know, if it have a Knight Rider like voice, it could talk to him, or maybe it's connected to his base as well. Do you know what I mean?
I'll tell you what never gets old, tea's made. The bell rings. Oh, it's time for tea, and it starts pouring you out a cup of tea.
No matter where he is, like if he's on the other side of the island, the chair can just produce like a tea.
Yeah. They can all stop for tea. Like they did in was it Asterix Fights the Britons, where they all just stop. Mm. All the dinosaurs sit down.
Yeah, it's all going to kick off, and then suddenly calls the time because it's.
Yeah, hang on. Cup of tea.
It's 4 o'clock. Would all
the dinosaurs be evil, or would there be a couple of nice ones?
Don't know.
There would probably be a storyline where there'd be a couple.
We have lady dinosaurs.
I know where this is going.
I think a friendly pterodactyl would be good.
Oh yeah.
You know, that could fly in and out and squawk, and then fly off again. You know.
I don't know why I'm saying this, Dave, but I think of pterodactyls as Scottish. I think just like a friendly Scottish, like a wary warrior, you know, a clever pterodactyl warrior turns up with a cutlass.
The lassie aspect sort of comes in. He goes, what's that? The young little Billy's trapped down the dinosaur well.
He's a Scottish pterodactyl. He'll fuck you up.
Yeah.
He's got caught in the T-Rex paddock and then he's got to go blasting out there on his mech riding.
I mean, this is gold. We're creating gold here, like probably
spinning out gold.
By the way, this is all copyrighted us, so fuck everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And I see it with the classic. I'm just going to copy the Marvel masthead sort of thing. You know, when there was like the Heroes for Hire or Tomb of Dracula or things like that, and they always had the Son of Satan. They always had the name at the top. Yeah. It's a character
washed up on an island. Little did he know it was full of dinosaurs and an evil wizard. That sort of thing.
What would his name be? I mean, you can't have words like savage Graham. Or things like that because you've got the Savage Lands.
Savage Graham.
Yeah, Savage Graham.
Savage Graham.
Or, I mean, could you have Graham Savage?
Yeah, it's good. He sounds like a football commentator, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He used to play for Bolton. Yeah. Bolton Rovers.
Fullback.
Dave, what sort of name should a character have? Like this have.
you need a sort of classy, cool, you know, all the characters in the '70s would have, you know, like Magnum Thomas or something like that. Yeah.
Would it be called Savage Lord or something? Because he's a lord.
Call him John Savage and actually draw him all the way through it, looking like John Savage as well. Just, you know, fuck you, come and see us.
Oh, Randy Savage.
And his auntie's there, Aunt May. She's there as well.
What about Doc Dino?
Doc Dino. Yeah, that's
Doc
Dino.
Savage.
Doc Dino. That hasn't been used for a couple of years.
I don't know who. Someone's got to have used that at some point.
Yes. Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is gold. This is gold.
Cool.
Oh, I like this. And, I like this.
There's a sort of creepy bloke who hangs about with him who's kind of like his servant, Reg Varney. It's calling Reg Varney.
Yeah. So the person that washes up on the island at the beginning is not the main guy. That's someone who's, or you know, the female, or maybe a couple of reporters.
Maybe like the vessel of like how the story comes in.
Yeah they're just being used to inseminate the lady dinosaurs.
Yeah. Look, I cannot wait for your book, Tony. But this is my book. I'm trying to sell. I'm trying to sell toys. I'm trying to sell merch.
You're a sellout.
Yeah. Anyway, it's going to be £5.
Do you remember in that film of the Island of Dr. Moreau? Do you remember
that one?
Do you remember? Barbara Carrera, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. She was a sexy cat lady, wasn't she?
Yeah. I loved her.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
That's it. That's my point.
It's a good point. Well made.
Yeah. I think about her quite a lot. She was a Bond girl, wasn't she? She was in Diamonds of Forever or something, wasn't she?
She was in Never Say Never Again.
Oh, it was. Of course it was. Yeah. When he came
and
back.
She was in Condor Man.
Oh, she was? Yeah.
God. Oh, you sounded very excited about that.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing a podcast with Stu Moraine and Andy Zoo, where we watch Condor Man. It's long promised.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Interesting.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
John Savage.
This Savage John of the world.
Who wants to go next?
Yes.
Can I go next?
Go on. Right. Round two is Tony.
Give us the three things.
So we've got Mask.
Mask, right, okay.
Second card. Criminal organization.
Okay.
I don't want Crime Fighter coming up because that's a bit...
Yeah.
And Ailing Person.
Ailing Person. Okay. Right, so Mask, a criminal organization, and Ailing Person. So there's a help group, right? And it's for people who have been involved in superheroing, most of them villains. And they're all suffering penile dysfunction. So they go along to this help group, and there's a load of chairs out, and there's Scott, he runs it. He puts on tea and biscuits, and all the villains turn up. And he says, so anyone had a hard on this week? And Brian turns up. Brian's a supervillain. And he's got a bit of a bulge in his pants. And Scott says, your pants are telling me another story, Brian.
I feel this is a bit of a confessional.
And it turns out that Brian has secretly started killing people. He's gone back to his bad ways. And that's the only reason he's done it is because he wants to get a boner again once more in his life.
I mean, we laugh, but that's pretty dark, isn't it? If the only way you can
we've all been there.
The only way you can raise the mast is to fucking murder someone. Jesus Christ.
We've watched this horror movie, and the only time we can ever get, even a semi on is when someone's dying painfully. We've all had that, haven't we?
So once you're in this like help group and like they've all been done over by like this superhero character,
they're all a bit embarrassed by it. They feel a bit emasculated.
All their lives have absolutely been jacked up because they can't.
And the only buzz they get is being really bad supervillains as part of a criminal organisation. But they find that, he's ruined their sex lives because he keeps beating them up on live television.
So
and they can't get
like the Dirty Dozen, quite literally dirty.
Yeah, they sit around, they tell these stories about how they, tried again with the wife this week. All I could think of was his face putting me in prison.
It's more of a sort of confessional, rather than like having action, it's more like a slice of life therapy.
It's a slice of life personal story, that's what I'm all about,
Yeah.
Would they be in costume or in...
Maybe a
couple
of them you could just see past their unbuttoned shirt that they've got there, that hard chest of armor.
I'm guessing you would have when they're talking about their story, you'd have flashbacks.
Yeah, you say, what happened to you, Terry? And he goes, oh, well, I was trying to rob a bank. Thought I'd probably get off with the cashier girl. She was giving me the eye.
Or man.
And in swoops, Condor Man. Beat me up in front of her. No chance of getting a bone of them, friends.
I mean, Condor Man's is a licensed property, that's so true. we may have to pay for that, Condor
Man.
Condor Man.
Condor Man. He fights for the safety
of the
whole
family. Surely you should be Cockblocker.
Cockblocker genuinely sounds like a Marvel villain.
It's a metaphor for bullies, isn't it? The only reason they get off on it, don't they? They get off on being the bad guy. Yeah, but they can't. They can't get a boner. But Brian's been secretly playing away, hasn't he?
What if he's the hero?
Brian could secretly be the superhero.
He could be the hero, and he's going down there getting a thrill out of hearing all these people
about
how he's fucked their lives.
Brian
is secretly Condom Man.
And he's getting off on it. He's had to have it all strapped on downstairs so it doesn't show in the meeting.
Yeah, tied to his tummy.
What he gets off on is... Yeah. All these people telling stories of misery and how he's the cause of it.
And while they're saying, oh, I was robbing a bank and Condor Man, Tony, you can hear him just very quietly go, like this.
It'll do what, Tony?
Gotta go to the bathroom again.
I tell you what, though, you wouldn't touch any of the snacks, would you? They got that, meeting.
You wouldn't want cream in your coffee at that party, would you?
Oh, God. Well, there should be anti-back everywhere.
It should be, socially distanced.
Yeah.
So the chairs are all far apart.
Yeah.
So,
Dave, have you ever got a boner one killing someone, or is it something you...
No, I'd have been flaccid while strangling people.
It's usually the thinking back on it after that brings the highs.
Putting it in the
In the story of this, while, he's went back to killing and started getting hard-ons again. Does this inspire the other people? Do they start copying them, or are some of them disgusted at them? Or
they're secretly staying at breaking their pledge as well, aren't they? They're not getting the what do you get at Outbox Anonymous? You get like a little badge, don't you, if you do it for a year?
Yeah.
They're not getting that. They're having to get, and the confessional. So Brian goes along. So not only does he takes great pleasure in seeing all these poor villains he's beaten to a pulp, you know, just totally humiliated, but they also have to confess that they've done something. So they say, "Oh, you got anything you want to tell us this week, Tony?" And Tony stands up and goes, "Oh yeah, I did. I robbed an old lady." Yeah, and so he's thinking, right, I can call the police on him now. Yeah. He's the suspect for that. So it's like a little investigative tool for him as well. To go to these meetings.
He could. They could also say their plans. So I've got my eye on this old bird down the road. I'm going to do her over when she goes to bingo on Wednesday.
And then not sure if I can hold back. Yeah.
And then obviously the hero knows about this and he's waiting in the wings.
Yeah, with his condoms.
It's a bit like Poirot, isn't it?
If only Siegel and Schuster had struck on this idea in the 30s.
Could have been
a whole different ball game. I wonder if Pat Mills is listening, because this might be another idea he'd be interested
in. Yeah. Fair enough. Any idea for a title?
Yeah.
We already said
it. Yeah. Go on.
Oh, I don't know. Boner Help Group.
No.
Come on. So you can do better than that, can't we? The Bones of Our Heroes.
Hard-boned criminals.
Yes.
Yes.
That's gold.
Game of Bones.
Or hard time.
Hard-boned criminals.
Doing hard time, but make hard in capitals.
Yeah. And the eye of the time is a dick.
Sorry. And it could be hard time, and then just the little undertitle will be, "Your pants are telling me another story."
That's one of the arcs, isn't it, Tony? I
mean, that's like, Brian's. Yeah, that's story one with Brian.
Yeah. Or you could be like, given. I can't believe I'm about to say this. Giving him the Sinister Six.
giving him a hand. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
He pulls off a number of robberies. Writes itself, another piece of gold for me. Thank you, everyone. Takes a bow. He's embarrassed, leaves the room.
Yeah.
Right, Dave.
Dave,
over to you. Right, okay, round three.
Right, okay. So we've got law firm.
Ooh.
Law firm.
Horse. So, give you some ideas of that. You can have farming, fox hunting, aristocrat.
And horse at law.
And bullies.
Bullies. Oh.
That's an interesting one.
So we've got law firm, horse, and bullies. Don't forget, a horse is also slang for heroin, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah. According to the artist formerly known as Prince.
So law firm, you can have a deposition, witness tampering, divorce. Yeah.
He's tampering with that horse.
I
object.
That's the horse noise.
And Brian comes in and just goes,
right. Dave, what have you got for us?
I'm thinking I'll probably use... do you remember they repeated it recently? It was a 90s thing in a law firm.
LA Law?
No, it was British.
Oh,
It was a big deal at the time.
It's not about the guys all living in a flat together, that one.
Yeah.
What was the name of that thing?
That's the theme tune. Right, okay, so I'm using that as an idea for the setting. There are people that work in a law firm, but at the weekends... Oh, I'm struggling here.
That's a tough one.
Are they committing the crime? At the weekends,
some of them like to go... horse riding, but not all of them. Just three of them.
Is there a rift between them now because some of them don't like it?
Yeah, the other ones are bullying them because they like horses.
Yeah,
obviously. But they don't like horses. It's something like This Life, that's it.
This Life, yes.
That's what it was called.
There's quite a lot of shagging in This Life, I seem to remember as well.
There was, yeah.
So we're replacing the shagging for horses.
Yeah.
No, we'll keep the shagging and the horses.
Oh.
Not necessarily
not,
the same
not,
time.
We're not going to mix it up.
No, but the thing is, there's like a Romeo and Juliet idea, because one of them that goes riding on the horses, somebody that's in the other three group that doesn't like people that like horses, we better give them something they like to go against horses. Yeah. Let's say they like tortoises. So they race tortoises. At the weekend, they race tortoises in their kitchen while they're horse riding. So the tortoise people, one of them is in love with one of the horse people.
Those horse people are unobtainable for the tortoise people, I feel.
Well, but that's the thing. One of them has managed to get one of the horse people. So, first storyline, you can have a horse expedition. One of the tortoise people's gone along and is hiding in the bushes, waiting on getting a chance to secretly have sex in the bushes.
Yeah.
Right?
Have they got a tortoise with them? Do they always have a tortoise?
No.
No, like attached to their belt?
They've had to say, look, we forgot the tortoise snacks. You know, at the tortoise party. So she says, I'll run to the pet shop. I'll be back, you know, as soon as. Runs off to the horse riding place, has sex with a guy, and then comes back, maybe almost forgets the tortoise snacks on the way back. It's like a farce, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's more like Jackie Collins. Woo, this is steamy stuff.
Comes back to the kitchen, they don't suspect anything. I mean, it took quite a long time to get the tortoise snacks, but it's okay, you know, they buy it. So the next time, the horse person is hiding outside in the bin shed at the house where they're having the tortoise races.
Yeah.
And that person says, look, I've just got to empty the bins. that person's not very imaginative. You know, they can't come up with a good excuse. So they just say, I've got to empty the bins now. Go out. Have oral sex just in the bin shed. Because they don't have as much time.
We've all been there. Yeah.
So get that done. Back in. That's the bins emptied, everybody. Oh, great. Everybody's really happy. And then they get on.
I love the fact we're getting dialogue.
Well, you've got to start building the characters.
You said this is quite difficult.
You know, you do storytelling.
Yours has been the most
well.
Detailed one out of all.
So what the end point of the story? If it would, what point
could be that... Well, I'd previously said that the tortoise people were the bullies. So I guess we're on the horse people's side more.
Is it a tragic love story, essentially?
We'll end with a wedding, right? And the tortoise...
Is that tragic?
Well, it's what happens on the day of the wedding.
Oh, I'm in. Go on.
Because the tortoise people are travelling to the wedding in their own car.
Very slowly.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And they bring the tortoises.
Stop it.
Because they love the tortoises so much, they bring them as well. But they get overheated in the boot of the car and die.
Hang on, let me stop you there. They love tortoises, and yet they just put all their tortoises in the boot of the car without any air.
Well, they're excited though, because it's a wedding, isn't it?
Yeah. That's a really sad moment, Dave. I see that. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, I've been very insensitive laughing at this tragedy.
Yeah.
So they pull up at the church, open the boot, and all the tortoises are dead. And then
some of them have paid attention to Blue Peter from years ago and painted the names on the back of the tortoises in Tippex, and it's killed them all.
So this derails the wedding.
Yeah.
Somewhat.
The thing is, they all got so angry and they were annoyed at the horse people. They sort of blamed the horse people for this.
The horse people are going tortoise wankers.
Yeah. So, you know, they lose control of the car when they're driving and right into the field and kill the horses as well.
is this before or after they find out the tortoises are dead?
Oh, they're so emotionally upset. They find the driver goes to pot. tears in their eyes.
Yeah, that's it. It's actually after the wedding. On the way back, they're really distraught and upset, and then they kill the horses.
Jesus.
Yeah. And then
this is the saddest thing story ever.
This is dark, man.
Yeah, it is dark. It's a shame because, you know, the horses and the tortoises, they're innocent. They're innocent animals.
Yeah.
You know?
But people are the problem. That's what we're saying. Yeah, exactly. Like all zombie movies, it's the people who ruin everything. It's not the zombies, is it?
You're saying there's a farce element before?
Yeah. Yeah, the farce element was, do you remember that he went to get tortoise snacks?
Yes.
Yeah.
And you know, he got there and there was like a big queue. So you had to stand waiting for ages. And then he got to the till and they said, sorry, this isn't tortoise snacks. This is
threshers.
This is for rabbits, you know?
I mean, the artist isn't going to be happy because they're going to have to draw a crowd scene.
Yeah. I think I'm
not drawing this shit.
No. Oh, no. We're going to give it to another team of professionals. Yeah.
I think we're ignoring the oral sex in the bin cupboard at moments. I think that's...
That's getting a double-page spread. I'm not ignoring that.
Good. Yeah, good. Is it mutual oral or is it just one-way oral?
Oh, no. It's always...
mutual.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I've got a question. Do you think that's a strong enough ending? Because you've still got them married, so they are happy. It's... But everyone is upset around them.
Bittersweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think that's strong enough to end on?
I think so. Always end a horror story on a wedding.
It's like the end of The Mist. Do you know what I mean? You'll never forget it. I mean, some people will like it, some people will hate it. You'll get hate mail, but you'll also get some lifelong fans.
See, the most horrible thing about it is the fact they get married. I mean, that's a regret for everyone, isn't it?
I might say the tortoise and horse death, but...
You've never been married.
Hey, I've got it. After the credits, there's an after credit sequence, and
what, the
once
back
they've
of the
come back from their honeymoon,
he's already planned the film adaptation.
Yeah. Oh yeah, after the credits in the movie, right?
Yeah,
we can see them after the honeymoon, and they're buying a new horse and a new tortoise.
Oh, I've got one better.
That's a happy ending.
Here's a bit more to it. Then they're in the field and they're giving the horse some hay and they're tapping the back of the shell of the tortoise, and just in the distance the camera focuses in on the field, which is where it's the tortoise graveyard, and a little tortoise hand breaks out the earth. Tortoise.
Oh, what?
Not living tortoises.
You're hinting at a possible horror themed sequel.
Yeah.
Blimey. What is that? What should we have the title of this epic love story for the ages?
Mm. I thought we could call it Law Firm Horse Bullies.
That's what it says on the
tin. How about Horses in a Half Shell?
Oh, yes. I was thinking shells and saddles, but I think Horses in a Half Shell is... it works.
The ideas, man, aren't we? Iris, you know, comic companies need to hire us. We just pump this shit out and send it out to people like Al Ewing.
I tell you what, our first line of books is going to be very strong.
Coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
We could have a scene. I've got an idea for another post-credit sequence in the movie.
Okay. I mean, we can put this in the back of the collection, you know, more pages.
Yeah. And it's inspired by the Marvel Cinematic Universe Avengers. So once it's all finished, we see everybody at the law firm again in the canteen, and they're all sitting around eating their food, and they're not even talking. That's the amazing thing. They're just sitting there talking, and I'm not sure what that would mean, but I'm not sure what it meant to the Avengers either.
And then someone goes, is this lamb? And then they look at each other and they realise it's actually horse meat.
Yeah, horse.
Yeah.
Like, that's the last of the post-credit sequences.
Yeah.
Then there's like a crash cut to sort of some heavy metal or something.
My God.
Credits.
My God.
So we've got. Are we going to do one more?
Dan's got to do one.
Yeah, I've got one. Right. Go on. Let's see my first cut is.
What have you got?
Warrior.
That's
fairly easy for me.
Yeah.
Stop the Press.
Oh.
And Memorabilia. Fucking hell.
What?
Memorabilia.
That is tough.
Okay. How about... Go on.
Go on.
I'm going to say, how about so this? Imagine... How about... Go on. Yeah, go on. Yeah, sure.
It's an age-old warrior looking over, like, the memorabilia of his past, and he's got some...
his villain's skull.
Yeah. All around him, and maybe it hasn't brought him happiness, and there's a kind of either a reporter or a journalist taking down his story, and fuck, where could he go with this?
Well, that's fine. He tells the stories to him, and he puts them in the puts them in a book, gets published. Yeah. So that's an easy opener to whatever story you want, then, isn't it?
Yeah,
because you could sort of say, oh, you know, everyone said it was like this, but here's the true story of what it was actually like.
And I guess you'd always spin
you find
it
out he was a bastard, probably, or something like that, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it could be, instead of, like, someone who's done good, someone on death row or something. And he's like, it's the hours are counting down before he's got to be let off, he or she's got to be let off to the electric chair. And the stop the presses angle comes in when he's trying to go over all this stuff. Yeah. And then maybe a twist at the end could be sort of like he's rigged up some kind of explosive device or somewhere to go off when he dies.
He's either a villain to the end, or you find out the thing that he's going to death row for, the hero, his nemesis, actually did. And he didn't do it.
Oh, and he's unjustly been...
I mean, he's a villain, but then for the thing that he's on the hook for, he didn't do.
So he could have been in a battle with the arch nemesis, the good guy. The good guy good guy's killed some people.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I didn't fucking do that. But he's obviously, he's got form for it. He's been put in the frame.
Yeah. But for the greater good, he's decided to cop the,
because everyone...
charges.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's a fairly simple one. I ain't got much stress to that.
I mean, it's taken a dark turn, hasn't it? As soon as you involved death row, I was like, phew, this got serious real quick.
Could we have as the memorabilia? Could we have a Funko Pop of the Warrior that involved that somehow?
Or maybe they're all Funko Pops.
They're all Funko Pops.
Of horses.
I made a mistake this week by putting on Facebook, who buys this shit? And about a load of people went, oh, I do. And I do. Fucking hell.
Yeah. A lot of people buy Funko stuff.
Tony, you fool.
No.
Do you know what? That's a genuine idea, Dan, that someone will probably... I mean, it sounds so good, I feel like it's already been done.
But you could use that in Vanguard. I think that's a Vanguard tonally specific thing, isn't it?
Yeah. I guess it kind of come for me. I don't know. I guess to spin it, the story that I'd tell, so you'd kind of get it on that. I guess you're right. You are right.
And maybe to tie in the memorabilia, like the event that led to this guy getting arrested has been seen by the press as like this huge event. So all of this stuff's been glorified over the years, and shirts and toys and everything have come out of it. And this is actually the real story of how.
Maybe not so grand, or maybe
not so grand.
Darker, or
yeah. You shouldn't buy this shit.
Maybe like the journalist gets the real story.
Runs
back to get on the presses, and it gets knocked on the head. So we're not going to tell this because it's making so much money doing this. If you read this, they fucking hate us, and the corporate will come after us. Blah 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 blah.
Yeah,
and stuff like that.
Well, I tell you what, we've gone through the gambit of dinosaur hunting billionaires. We've got confessional sex pests, supervillains. We've got a tragic love story of horses and tortoises, and supervillains on death row.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we did. But how's about this? What do you lot out there do?
Let's give them three cards.
All right. And in the thread for this, this isn't a competition or anything. This is just a laugh. Literally, just chuck it out onto the comment threads when we put it in the Facebook group. So for you lovely listeners out there, what three cards have they got? Down?
Okay, so the three cards. First card, we've got school. Second card, got rats.
Oh.
Third card, we've got demon.
Ooh. Oh, come on, that's easy.
This can be. This could be really cool. This could be really cool, actually. So there you go, folks. You saw that's what
some
we did.
Subjects, that is a lot easier than law firm horse bullies.
That was
hard. You had the hardest one,
that
Dave.
That was the hardest one, Dave. And you you created a classic for our times.
Thank you. Yes.
So School Rats and Demons, go for it. We're going to, obviously, when this episode goes live, should we put a thread on the Facebook group, Awesome Comics Talk? We'll also do a thread on the Twitter as well. So
that's a good idea.
So we'll post up the words, and then on that thread, just keep it going. You know, just
throw it. So we won't put the email on there, but if you DM us, we'll give you the email. Yeah. Put it that way, because I know if we put the email on that, my phone will start lighting up with, you know, people from foreign countries trying to get me to invest in their, you know, businesses.
Mm. And if you want to,
I'll take pictures of the cards themselves, and you can put them online.
Yeah,
good idea. Yeah.
And if you want to do any sketches, funny sketches, maybe as soon as you heard those three, you immediately thought of a character sketch, and you just want to do a warm up sketch before you start drawing your comic, do that, post it
three.
Up, and just share the love, because that is quite a fun creative exercise. And I think these, for those people that, you know. We just had fun just doing it for like half an hour.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to tell you, I wasn't down on it. I was well up for doing it, but that was actually more fun than I even thought it would be. So
For those people, and I've got to say, these cards are tops to the creator. So, Dan, where can people get these cards?
They're not tops cards. That's a whole other thing.
No, they're just tops in general.
I purchased these off of Amazon after seeing them on Kickstarter, but they're widely available. I actually got Tom from That Comic Smell sent me a few quid for my birthday.
I know him.
I had this open in the browser. And I was like, "Oh fuck it! I'm going to use some of that money to buy these cards."
Yeah,
so nice.
This comic smell helped this episode come to life.
Yeah, sponsored by.
So check it out, and I recommend getting the cards and see what you can do with them.
Yes, and thank you to the creators of these cards for creating something that gave us something to do for a week. So, David's choking to death. But we'll
Don't laugh for that.
Yeah, it's because he's been eating those posh grapes. Were they seedless?
Yeah, they were seedless.
Oh, you can tell he's posh. But what you may also know about him is he makes great comics as well. So, before we get on with the rest of this, Dave, we love your comics. Firstly, the first question is, Fred Egg, what's that all about?
Fred Egg is a character that I made up when I was 7. I made up a Fred Egg comic, and it's about an egg that comes to life and runs around having adventures, talking, doing anything you can think of or required for whatever the story was. And the reason he was called Fred Egg was from the dialect of Dundee. So you wouldn't say fried egg, you'd say Fred Egg. That would just be how you said it. And one day I just thought, oh, okay, an egg called Fred. And then much later, when I was an adult, and I thought, I think I'll put up comics, I sat for ages trying to think of a good name. And then you know how it is, I suddenly thought, oh, wait a minute, what? Fred Egg Comics, isn't it? I mean, I can't think of anything better than that.
I mean, yeah.
So that's...
And that is now your brand now, isn't it?
Yeah, Fred Egg Comics.
But your comics themselves, they're not just, you know, we've just come up with some absolutely blinding concepts for ongoing, you know, super theatrical, bombastic comics. But you do all kinds of strips, don't you? I mean, your collections, because you've got a few sort of collections out. And there's the farcical, there's the surreal, there's all kinds of weird and wonderful stuff. So what is your... What are the comics that you like to make? What is your process?
Well, my process just depends on whatever the story is. So usually I'll just think of some idea as I'm going around my life and jot it down, you know. Everyone talks about... I think everyone gets ideas, but then you just shake it off because you're busy, you know, buying milk or something. But I like to have a notebook or a bit of paper and write everything down. So I've got little diaries full of completely meaningless sentences that mean something to me.
Yeah. What makes that? What I mean, we've talked endless amounts on this show about the importance of keeping notes and those brilliant ideas and stuff. What is it about those notes that you have that you think, right, I can turn that one into a few pages of a script or things like that?
I think you as you do this, you learn, you get an instinct for it. I think you just go, yeah, that'll work. That one will work. I could punch that up into something, or you can, or you feel right away it's complete. Yeah, that would do. That's it. And because your head's in that mode anyway, you just start doing it all the time. You know, it's practically nonstop. Just about everything that happens, you're going, is this a comic? You know.
It's weird because, you know, like you kind of make observations and it's like people then just sit in their room and think, oh, let's think of an observation. It is through taking ideas down in like those notebooks and sketchbooks and then drawing on them later. So it's a useful tool, isn't it?
Even if you're writing about outer space, there's a personal experienced element to it, isn't there? You know?
Yeah, I've done outer space stories that were just something that happened to me at work. So I made a story of it, except it wasn't at my work. It was on a space station, you know?
Yeah.
So that's one example of how it could work.
Yeah.
The experience translates.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one. I mean, my stories are all quite different. So, I mean, the idea is different for each one.
I mean, Bell Time is it semi-autobiographical? Because it's you're writing saying you're a librarian as well, aren't you, Dave? Is that right?
Yeah, Bell Time was one that came about from an experience of working in a school library. So that, you know, on a daily basis, things were happening that I was thinking, you know, this is ridiculous. I'm going to use this in a story at some point, you know.
Yeah. Did you want to explain what that one's about? Because it's got a sort of Back to the Future time travel thing going on as well, isn't it? Is that right?
Well, yeah, Bell Time was one that it started being in the school library, being the librarian, and going through trying to maintain control of it because it was a madhouse, you know. Some schools are like asylums, you know, and crazy. So that's what this one was like, and I just got to thinking that. I'm trying to remember now what the genesis of it was. I was thinking about that film with Kathleen Turner.
Oh, Peggy Sue Got Married.
Peggy Sue Got Married. And in it, she goes back to school. She goes back into her body when she was a teenager at the school, except she's still got her adult sensibility.
Yeah.
So I thought, that's interesting, but I think I'll do it the other way around. I think I'll be at the school and then go forward into my adult body at the school because I'm working at the school library now. And the reason I really thought that would work is because I thought, well, that's what's happened, you know?
Yeah.
That is what's happened. I'm still that kid that was at school in my head.
Yeah.
except now, so I threw in the sort of time travel element of it where he walks into a cupboard, comes out, and he's an adult at the same school. And like all these sort of time travel sci-fi element things, you know, you don't explain it, you know.
Yeah, you don't need to.
There's no explanation. Yeah. Any explanation you come up with for how you were able to walk into a cupboard and come out and be an adult now is just going to be unconvincing crap.
Yeah.
and a distraction from what you're trying to do, which is tell the story of how mad it is to work in this library.
We've all tried to go at 88 miles an hour, though. Let's face it, it's faster.
Yeah.
That's a good one, that man. And I like it because it's got a real personal edge to it as well, isn't it? That's the thing.
And another thing I like is like the actual sort of printed copy as well. You do have the sort of, you have lots of process in the back, like taking you through the entire section, even a blog. You've got a blog post in there as well, haven't you? On the printed.
I do, yeah.
So
that's
it is literally like those notes you were talking about. If you want to see an example of what Dave's talking about, then either, I guess it's available in the digital as well, but get your hands on the printed copy. Go on, go to his website.
It's on Comic House.
On Comic House, who sponsors the show. But no, you should get the books anyway, because Dave's churned out loads of books. So, but yeah, there's like, oh, we've got you. Yeah, you've got the pre-writing notes, the story outlines, sketches, page layouts, penciled pages, ink pages, and then the Fred Egg comics blog post. So you've literally got the entire sort of from the beginning to the end kind of process, really, haven't you? Almost.
Yeah, if you're if you're a big collector, then you've got if you're a completist, rather, you've got it all there, haven't you? Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I like seeing that stuff myself.
Yeah, I was about to say, do you like when you see a collection, is it always, do you like it when they put like sort of sketches? I mean, sometimes it's a bit cheap, isn't it? They just put a couple of penciled sketches or something like that. But I do like a bit of back matter to my books. That sounds weird putting it like that. But do you know what I mean? Though? Just having those, I like process, seeing the different layers of how this final piece came to be.
At first, I wasn't sure about doing it because you come up with an idea for a story. Like my first one, Berserkatron, I had the idea for that and I was putting it out. And I was kind of in my mind, I was a bit purist about, well, I don't want to spell it out for the reader. You know, I don't want to tell them this is what to think. This is what, you know, it's kind of irrelevant what I was thinking about when I made the comic. You know, it's how you read it and what you think about it. But then I wrote an article for a magazine years ago about Berserkatron. And then when it came to the second issue of that, I had some pages to fill. So I just thought, I'll just put the article in there. And I got more feedback on the article than anything else. And I thought, okay, people like this. I'm just going to... I'm worried about telling people what to think and letting them see too much. But then I think, well, so what? And I just do it.
Well, yeah. I
mean, what the hell?
That's the way you got to be with comics.
I mean, that's we talked about that a lot, Dave. And is the attitude is just get on with it. And I hear you say that, and you've said it to us before. Is it's a great policy to have. None of this like talking about the great graphic novel you're going to complete. It's like saying I'm going to go away and write the great American novel. People never do it, do they? But if you can sit down, you've got time in the evenings. Let's face it, we've got 5 minutes, haven't we? Write something down, get it started. I think.
I agree. Yeah, it's that other quote about like life's what happens when you're doing other shit, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you just kind of like, if you want to make that comic, you just got to get down and start creating. There's no point sitting around planning, and then it never fucking come to fruition.
Yeah.
Make it.
You're right.
I mean, what keeps you going, though? What keeps inspiring you? Because you're constantly creating books. I mean, you know, compared to a lot of people, myself included, it takes flipping ages to create everything. You've already got quite a library of books. What keeps you coming back to it and just churning out comics?
Well, it does take ages, doesn't it? So, I mean, that's one thing that I just don't worry about. And I'll be at cons and people come up and I've got like 10 books on the table, you know, and somebody comes up, oh, you've done all these books, you know, and I wanted to do a thing, but, you know, the rate I'm going at, it's going to take 3 years. And I will say, well, take 3 years then.
Yeah.
You know, and then when the 3 years is done, get started on another one.
Yeah.
And then I'm not 21. You know, I've got 10 books. Yeah, sure, because I've been at it for ages. There's no hurry. Nobody's waiting on the next Fred Egg comic. Nobody cares if I never do another one ever again. So I might as well just get on with it.
Some people are going to kick off about that. That's quite a statement, Dave, that you made.
It sounds negative, but to me, that's a positive. That's like, I can do whatever I like and I'm going to just keep doing it.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not doing it to fill a need, what I think people want.
Yeah.
Anything, I'm just doing it.
Yeah.
I'm just doing it because I want to, you know. I believe in comics and I think every comic that's made gives something to the world, you know. Any of the comics you guys do, they're all different from what you all do individually and what anybody would do and what I would do. So you could make your comic or just not make your comic, and then your comic won't exist. So make your fucking comic, get it made, get on with it, right? Stop listening to this and go and get back to the page and get some more of that comic done. Yeah. That's all I've got to say.
Fair enough.
So is that an answer to what keeps me going? I love doing comics.
That's told us. And probably, you know, that's the best way to put it.
But I think that's the nature of it, man, especially the small press scene, is we do it because we love comics. We don't do it. We're not going to be millionaires, let's face it, are we? Yeah.
No.
But that's a big problem, you know, sitting waiting on getting paid before you're going to do your comics. Well, okay, good luck with that. You'll be dead before I see anything from you.
Yeah. There can be a bit of a disparity, I think, with some... And every artist should value their work. Of course they should.
Yeah.
You know, because we all put a lot of work into this, whether you're the writer all the way down to whoever's designing your book. You know, the whole team puts in a lot of work. And it is worth something. But some people, especially just starting out, they value themselves sometimes at prices that the professionals wouldn't charge people.
Yep. Yep.
You know, so it's all about being realistic. I mean, eventually you'll be able to be one of those artists that we see on the internet going, yeah, I've got a commission list. I can't take any more. You know, your commission list and all that will be what you make all your money from when you're going to New York Comic Con and all of this stuff. But until then, you need the name to get to that point.
Also, you need to be ever track record or delivering.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because you can have the greatest style in the world and say, I charge X amount for this commission, but there's not a track record that you've built up that of clients and people you've made done work for.
Yeah.
People like, oh, should I get this client?
Yeah, I think there's an element of people now coming through just doing commissions, and I'm a bit dubious of that because I like to get a commission from someone because I like their comic work, and fair I have enough. To say, for me, I'd rather have a comic page than a commission a lot of the time, because that's a part of that's a part of history.
Hmm. I guess you get commissions for two different reasons: one for the kind of the actual picture and the merit of the picture on its own, and then the other one by the artist because of what they are and what they've done.
Yeah, so if I'm getting a Mark Bagley Spider-Man commission, it's because I've loved his work on Spider-Man and it gave me great pleasure.
You don't particularly want a picture of Spidey, but because it's done by Mark Bagley, that's...
That's true. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, there's different elements to it, but I'm getting to see a lot of these companies that take on, you know, they sell original artwork and sketches and commissions for artists. I'm seeing them take on people who I haven't really seen a great deal of comics work from.
Yeah.
And I think there's people who are collecting images of whoever it'll be, She-Hulk, whoever it is, because they're a She-Hulk commission collector. Mm. And I would rather see those guys doing comics work, put it that way.
Mm. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, some people move into rather sequentials, their commissions and covers, aren't they? Because covers, obviously, they can be a massive...
And commissions can be really expensive from some people.
I mean, I absolutely love... pretty sure this is his name. Mark Brooks.
Yeah.
Does a lot of Marvel covers, doesn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of his stuff is pretty much Marvel covers and commissions. Everything is absolutely stunning.
Was it Secret Empire that we followed?
Yeah. And you follow him on Instagram, you see his commissions, and like, you know, that's absolutely stunning. And like, you know, he does the process videos and stuff. It's unbelievable. And I love that. But I think for his art, it's almost... I'm not sure, you know, if he was to do a comic book, it would take forever, probably. And would it work in sequential format? Do you know what I mean? Because his style has now moved on to being this
perfect, fully painted, covers.
You know, some people are just perfect for covers, and their interiors don't always work.
And vice versa.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So there are those people. I mean, follow Mark Brooks. If you don't know who we're talking about, then...
He's always got a big line at New York whenever he's there.
Yeah. And like I say, but he built up his name to be that. He didn't just come out of nowhere and Marvel say, could you do our covers?
I suppose an extreme version of that would be Alex Ross, wouldn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, and Alex Ross, he would have obviously done a lot of covers, but...
He's done a few interiors. I don't mind it so much.
Without Marvels and Kingdom Come, would Alex Ross be the... huge name he is.
I think he changed the landscape a little bit as well, didn't he? The publishers did, rather, you know, or a combination of everyone. Yeah. But I mean, I like looking at his covers. I find them sometimes a little samey.
Alex Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of them are lovely. Some of them are a little bit lifeless, I think.
He does use the same reference and people or models. So sometimes, like, he'll use the same model and you think, well, I think I've seen this cover before and you haven't. It's just because...
Is it Sal Abernathy who's the... I think he's... Is he a comic art dealer? He's a comic artist himself.
Yeah.
I think, isn't he Shazam?
He's Shazam, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Mm. Yeah. And he sort of... I can understand what you mean with Alex Ross. There's times where you're like, okay, that's is what it is, but sometimes it just doesn't...
Yeah, a little bit too stock footage of covers. I'd rather have that story on a cover, which is applicable to the story that's going on, rather than Batman on a rooftop. Or
when it becomes a bit too much like a Dear Deirdre photo kind of comic strip, there's no interest in that.
Yeah. Those photo strips are great though, man. I appeared in a couple of them.
I love that. I mean, the one thing about your cover, speaking of covers, Dave, I'm never quite sure what I'm going to get with your books just by the covers. There's a wonderful unpredictability to your work that I love.
There's a little hint on there, isn't there?
Yeah. I mean, Break the Cake is just amazing. That's an anthology. I mean, you work with other artists as well. You
do that a lot, man, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, I like doing that. I like sending out stories and scripts to people and seeing what they send back to me.
How do you go about finding those artists?
It's a different thing for each one. Some of them I know locally in the area. Some of them I've met going to Thought Bubble or things like that. Or others, some of them I've never even met them. I see people's work online. And I'll just, I've got a pretty brass neck. You know, I just email them and say, look, you've never heard of me, but, you know, I like what you're doing. Do you want to do this? And, you know, a lot of them, thanks, but no thanks, you know. But some of them give it a go, so.
Yeah, and you do stories like one or two pages, don't you? It's not like you're asking I want to do a 40-page comic.
And I always say, you know, do you want to do this? If so, you know, here's a 4-month deadline on it. And, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it. Just that I've got to like what they're doing. Just got to be something I like.
And you're probably nice to deal with, I'd imagine.
Well, that's not for me to say. That's for somebody else to say, isn't it?
Well, we think you're lovely, Dave.
Yeah. You're nice.
I mean, you've been lovely to us, even though we beat you in the end of year quiz.
No, don't bring it up.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't want to.
You're playing a dangerous game there, because we're up against the Lakes this year.
I know. Pride comes got some heavy hitters, and we're going to fall like Hans Gruber, aren't we, Dan? So, if you don't know what we're talking about, go to the end of year competition, because Dave and the That Comic Smell guys are fantastic entertainment.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. On that, and on their show that they've is it weekly?
Bi-weekly, isn't it?
Is it bi-weekly?
Yeah.
Most recent ones about kids' comics, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
It's got an erratic schedule, I would say. Yeah. I think it's meant to be like bi-weekly, but you know, it's variable.
Yeah.
And think about it.
It's quality over quantity.
Exactly.
Yes, very true.
It's not like this. No, but you should definitely check them out, because you know what you're talking about when it comes to comics.
Exactly. Yeah. Home of British comics, my friend, Scotland.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dundee, especially.
And especially my house, yeah.
And, like, I do want to. I do you know what? I'm going to shout you out in the shout outs, so you can look forward to that in a sec. But where can people get all your books and stuff, Dave?
Oh, well, what you want to do is Google Fred Egg Comics. I've got a website, fredeggcomics.com, and there's a blog, Fred Egg Comics Blogspot, and you can get to the shop there and all the podcasts and, you know, everything. There's clips of the comics. There's sections of them on the website and what have you.
Nice. Always nice.
So check out.
Yeah.
And remember, it's Fred Egg Comics, not fried. Yeah, all right, I'm sick telling everybody this.
Yeah. Oh, really? Let's put. Yeah, this is on the record. It's Fred.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. And be aware that he completely owns the rights to
all legs.
Law
firm horse bullies.
Law firm horse bullies.
Yeah. And tortoises.
And tortoise. Yes.
That's dark, tragic tale there.
Dark, tragic tale.
It was emotional, wasn't it?
It was. Real roller coaster.
I mean,
kept me on the edge of my seat.
It started with you going, "Cool, this is quite a difficult one," and then you just went off. I was like, "This is epic." Oh dear. Anyway, let's segue to the shout-outs. And I want to kick off just by saying I will always love David Robertson. Because yes, Celine Dion is playing in the background as we speak. Because he very kindly sent some of your latest books to me. I mean, you're a super generous creator.
Yeah, you are, man.
I really appreciate that. That was brilliant.
Super generous. And in my collection was a small sticker, which I've got in front of me here, which number 20 from Marvel Superheroes Secret Wars. Panini, collect these stickers in the album available from your local shop, 1986. And it's a sticker of Bulldozer from the Wrecking Crew, and the Hulk is dodging him. Either that or he's just a terrible aim, and he's smashing into a load of glass.
Oh, I forgot about this.
I know that exact image.
Yeah, and I absolutely loved it. This was one of my favourite images in the sticker album. And it was not too... It was just after we had talked about... I'm not sure where you, was it on this show, or was it something else where I talked about loving the...
No, you and Teddy talked about it on the thing. On,
yeah, the Wrecking
Never
Crew.
End, yeah.
Wrecking Crew from the Secret Wars sticker album. And now I have an original Secret Wars sticker from that page, which affected me so deeply as a kid. And I'm not going to lie to you now. When I opened the package and I smiled at all the books, Joe looked at me and said, "Are you all right?" Because I just held the sticker in my hand and I genuinely got emotional. I was, because it was like my childhood just hit me right in the face, and I was like, "This is amazing." So thank you so much, Dave. I just want to say,
that's all right. That's nice, man. And I listened to that show and you were talking about that sticker book, and I thought, I'm sure I've got doubles of them, you know. So I went digging. And because I've got odds and ends, if you guys are anything like me, you keep everything, you know, it's ridiculous.
And I couldn't remember how small the stickers were. The stickers were, you know, when you're a kid, like everything, like trading cards, stickers, you always think, oh, I had the stickers and they were huge. They're not really that big, they're only like they're smaller than a business card, I will treasure this.
I always sort of recall them as like A5 pieces of paper. Yeah. They're not that big. You know what I mean? Like massive fucking heavy things.
No, tiny.
Yeah. Just imagine a business card size, and it's probably, let's see, it is probably three quarters of a business card size.
Okay. Yeah.
But I love it. So I just wanted to, say it on the record, to your face, kind of, even though the video's not.
But you're very welcome.
Good.
And really, I should have thrown that out years ago, but I just thought I might as well just hold on to this, you know. And just a short 35 years later, a perfect opportunity to give someone it came up. So I was pleased.
Yeah.
Worth it.
God bless this community. And what other shout-outs do we have this week, gents?
I've got a couple. I'd just like to say that I've just had a message from Tom Stewart saying, "How's Dave getting on?" And he says, "How's Dave getting on? I'm really looking forward to listening to it tomorrow." I've texted him back with, just in speech marks, "Oral sex in a bin cupboard." There you go.
See, he knows about that already, though. So that won't be a surprise.
Yeah, I bet he does.
That's an in-joke.
I've got a couple otherwise. So Space Warp is now in Comixology, a comic book not only written by Pat Mills, but including an awful number of people as part of our community. And it is absolutely spiffing. Vince did the design on a lot of it, and it's just outstanding. I actually love looking at that book. It took me right back to the great black and white days of 2000 AD and heavy metal and stuff like that. Thanks to everyone, by the way, who pledged to Knockout and Tiger Style, the new Tribute Press book coming to you soon. It's finished. I've got to proofread it tonight or tomorrow morning, and then it'll be going off to the printers once the money lands from Kickstarter. So we're all ahead of the game with that. And there's a little bootleg comic coming out that I've written, which hasn't...
I completely forgot about back in that time. I apologise.
Right. You'll get a free one. You know, babes. You know that. And there's also a little bootleg coming out with along with it, which has got a link to the Atomic Hercules world. So watch this space. Hey. A little extra. And thanks to Lee Stevenson. If you go to Crouching Ink Hidden Pencil, Crouching Ink Hidden Pencil, all one word, on Instagram, he reached out this week. I really enjoyed looking through his crazy doodle undergroundy looking pencils, and I'm trying to come up with something actually he and I can work with on the moment. So thanks for reaching out, Lee. It's really nice when people reach out and say they've enjoyed your comics and did you fancy doing something, working on something together. And I looked at his stuff and immediately started getting some great ideas. So I won't be using Law Firm Horse Bullies, but I might be using Super Boner Help.
No, group. You won't be.
No, I won't be. Yeah. Number of Scottish, the team of Scottish lawyers are already involved in the project. Super Boner Help Group might be getting worked out. There you go.
Yes.
Never mind.
Dan, have you got one?
Only a quick one. It might tie into some future guests. You'll have to guess who it'll be. Reckless Heroes, Knights vs. Pirates, the brand new graphic novel Reckless Hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll be launching on Kickstarter 8th of August, written by Jay Martin, a stunning artwork by Chris Imber. Are you hashtag Team Knight or hashtag Team Pirate? And more on that in a future episode.
Yes. I was looking at some of his work today, Imber's work, art, and it was, there's like a knight in a boat and the water's splashing up and it's fucking outstanding, man. Brilliant. Yeah. That's the best thing I've seen him do, and he's good anyway. Yeah.
And there's going to be a whole book of it. So it's going to be great. And speaking of another great book, Pledge Now, they've succeeded, but the Skrull Lords... They threatened it. And Skrull, the comics magazine, is available on Kickstarter now. Already smashed its pledge, so pledge now because you'll get the magazine and loads of extras that they're probably going to put in it. The core group is Mark Hughes, Russell Mark Olson, Nick Prolix, Martin Simpson, Pete Taylor, and Gustavus Vargas. Yes. Friends of the show, one and all.
Yeah.
There's going to be guest spots by Phil Elliott, Rosie Packwood, Jessica Lucas, Matt Simmons and Mark Stafford. There's going to be some extra stuff. I believe Lucy Sullivan is going to be doing a page. No, I think it's a 2-page strip. My mind has just gone absolutely blank. John Repion is writing it.
Oh, of course he is.
So it's going to be a nice sized magazine. Anyone who's seen all of those artists know that it's going to be quality from cover to cover, and a decent value as well. So go to Kickstarter and pledge to that now. It's probably everywhere because there's such a sort of motley crew of creators that have come together on that, and they're all shouting the heavens for the next month. So it'd be hard to miss. So how could we not mention it? And there you go. So from the shout outs to the recommendation section, we've had too much fun and we're a bit later than usual. So we're going to make this short, sharp and sexy. And speaking of sexy, our lovely guest is going to recommend a comic to you first. Dave, what would you like to recommend to our lovely listeners?
I'd like to recommend a new mini comic that I've been reading this week. Ooh. And it's called Sappy Flu Year. Oh. And it's by Tim Kelly, who is an American. He's in New York, I believe. He's somebody that I've known for about 20 years from being in an old APA together, if you know about the APAs.
No,
should I
that?
Talk
I
about
I don't,
APAs?
I don't. Yeah, what's that?
It's the idea where this one was on the Comics Journal message board back in the old bad old days.
Okay. Yep.
And somebody said, hey, let's do an APA. And so that person then says, who wants to do it? And say 40 people say, we'll do it. And everybody, right, that's 40 people. So you make a comic, make 40 copies of it and send it to that person that's putting it all together. And then they stick all the 40 copies that everyone sends in into 40 different books and send them out to all the 40 people. So everyone has now got a copy of this thing. And then you go back to the website and everyone talks about the work.
That's a great idea, man.
It was brilliant. And back then, that was the first time, I think, really, I had shared my comics with other people that knew something about comics. So great memories of doing that. And Tim Kelly was one of the people doing that I just loved these comics so much. Even a lot of the time I don't even know what he's talking about, you know. I'm just lost. But I'm still laughing my head off reading it. Because of the manner he does it in, the energy. It's kind of manic. So he does these Zook and Max comics. And this one is called Sappy Flu Year. And it just to give you an idea, it opens with they've found butter they're saying, hey, look, it's got the old kind of label on it. This will be worth a fortune. You know, I'm going to sell this on eBay. You know, so it kind of starts there and carries on to, it goes on about wearing masks and everything with COVID, so it's kind of topical. He's got a pair of knickers under his hat. He's forgot his mask, so he puts on these knickers that he's got from somewhere over his face. So if that doesn't want you to read this, I don't know what will.
I'm in.
Yeah.
And it's Tim Kelly. And Tim sent me this. Well, I'll give Tim's email and if anyone's interested to get
as long as he's all right about putting it out, and I'm fine with that. Yeah.
He's okay with that. And I asked, you know, do you sell it online? And he says, no, you could give me email. So here it is, timothycharleskelly@gmail.com. And I would recommend it. It's, he totally kills me. So it's black and white. It's just a little mini comic, like 8 pages, classic. He's done it, photocopied it up, stuck it together himself, sitting in his house doing this for the love of it. God bless him.
Good stuff, man.
Oh, nice one. Yeah. Nice. That's what we love. Who would like to go next?
Go on, one of you guys go.
I'll go in.
Yeah, go on.
After speaking about him last week, Tony very kindly sent me a book of Usagi Yojimbo.
Yes. I got very excited.
Yes. I got this as well. Thank you, Tony.
Bunraku and Other Stories. Is this the one you talked about on the show?
Yes, Tony? This is the new IDW. It's not it kind of is. It's the comics that come before the one I talked about. Yeah.
Nice one. Yeah, so it kind of, it's got several stories in it. One recaps to the a reappearing character, and he's sort of like a kind of a demon fighter. What's the character's name again? I can never bloody remember it. But he's popped up a couple of times in the Usagi stories, and he's like a demon fighter and supernatural, like evils. He goes up against them, and Usagi often gets caught up in his sort of adventures. In some aspects, he sort of like looks like Usagi's being groomed as to take over from him in some respects. I'm not sure if that's a future storyline that Stan's setting up, but honestly, like, you can pick up pretty much any Usagi book and just go straight into it, and every story is like, it can be your first Usagi Yojimbo story.
You
don't like a kind of Conan book, you pick it up, start reading, you find about the character very quickly, and you're into the world straight away. My favorite in this is there's a central story which I think takes up the bulk of it, which is called The Hero, and sort of gives a story about sort of Japanese society at the time and rituals and customs, and how a tragic story plays out when Usagi comes to help an author in need traveling across the countryside. And it's got like a tragic ending to it. But he's Stan Saki's Sakai, sorry. I don't know if I should call him Saki. He's a great storyteller. You're right, Tony, the colour in this, he's not gone too mad on it, and it works fine.
It's just about right, isn't it? Yeah.
It could have been too much, but it's all right.
My eyes into it now. It started off when I used to read Usagi, it was mostly black and white. And I kind of went, oh, it's coloured. And everyone on the internet was going, oh, it's coloured. And then I kind of just, I warmed to it. I find Usagi just like a warm blanket, man.
It's really nice.
It's just so well done. You know what you're getting. It's very consistent. He knows exactly how to turn everything into a story. There's a bit of nobility about it. And it's almost always one of the first things I read.
You know what? Yeah. I think the colour stroke is a good idea for appealing for a younger readers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some that might be put off just by the black and white. I don't know why they would be, but
isn't it? I mean, I think with IDW as well, IDW does a lot of IP product and stuff like that. A lot of it will be in colour. And, you know, it's going to be on the shelf with some other IDW books sometimes in shops, and people will pick it up more likely if it's in colour, I think. Plus, you've got the animation coming.
Yeah, we mentioned there's an animation coming up.
Yeah.
So that's going to be great. I just hope they do it justice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So Usagi Yojimbo translates Rabbit Bodyguard. There you go.
Yeah. It's a lovely book as well.
Solid, so nice.
Yeah.
Nice big thick trade, not like some of these rubbish you get. It's got three and a half issues in it or something, and load of filler. Yeah. This is like a proper trade's worth, isn't it? Yeah. Do you want to go, V?
Yeah, I'll go next. The book I've been reading is one of the ones that was on the to read pile from my birthday collection, and it is The Boy Who Became a Dragon. A Bruce Lee story by Jim DiBartolo. This is a chunky little book. It's about 240 pages. It's from Scholastic. It's part of the graphics imprint of Scholastic. If you don't know those, that's graphic novels and things like that that sell at quite a pace. Yeah. Numbers that you know, hopefully this book has sold quite a few numbers as well, because I know quite a few creators who sell through Scholastic do quite well, don't they? They've made quite a career from it. This book is essentially, it's a telling of the Bruce Lee story, but like when he was a child, from the day he was born, all the way up until, you know, he started to do films and things like that. It's you know, it's a biographical telling of the boy who grew up and to be the legend that, and we don't need to tell you who Bruce Lee is, but you know, it's a really nice and well told book. This and it's very much biographical and informative, to the point of, it's like the sort of graphic novels that if you got it in your school library, if you want kids to read and find out about these figures of history, of which there's Scholastic probably do lots of books like this, but you know, this one's Bruce Lee, so it's right up my street.
Yeah.
And it's just really solid. I mean, the artwork is perfect for what it is. It's not super flashy. The sort of the page-to-page sort of thing is quite simple, but it doesn't need to be. You know, this is about the family and this boy growing up and everything he went through, even as a child, when his father was in movies and then they had to move, you know, because of the Second World War and everything that kicked off there. And you know, I don't want to. There's a lot that I'm learning from
Ip Man's
well.
In it, isn't he?
Yep.
Good old Ip.
Yep. Or Yip Man, as he called him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Has he got, when he is the Hong Kong Cha Cha champion?
He may have. I haven't got to. I mean, I've just I've just got to the point, and like Yip Man turns up at chapter 6, which is like 135, page 135. So there's quite a lot of, you know, the boy sort of growing up and a lot about the family, and you know, it's definitely aimed for sort of younger audiences, but it's not one of those talk down. This is, you know, it does genuinely give you information about it all, and it's fascinating. And and like I say, there's a million books that talk about Bruce Lee and the stuff that we know, the films, the martial arts. This is about, you know, the childhood. And the author's note at the back as well, this book is pretty much cover to cover, just sort of story, and there's only like a couple of pages at the back. I just wanted to read out a couple of things from the author's note, which I thought were quite interesting. So he was the author himself, he does sort of say he wanted to write books, and he kept returning to the idea of telling Bruce Lee's life story in a way that hadn't been done before, sort of focusing largely on his childhood. And he says here, "I never aimed for it to be perfectly accurate, to be a perfectly accurate definitive take. With conflicting accounts and areas of thin information, there was a hazy fog over what might be the truth. But after reading books by and about him, the basic framework came clear and provided a structure upon which to build. Where facts are solid, I've related them truthfully. Where the unknown intervenes, I've imagined his childhood as it might have been. I've added fantastical zodiac elements." There's some wonderful pages like dealing with, like, you know, the year of the dragon, because I didn't know that he was born in the year and the hour of the dragon.
Okay.
I didn't know that. And he's glossed over some of the specific violence in Bruce's youthful gang life, and he's depicted supporting characters in sort of a fictional light. Even with these changes, I hope to have remained respectful to the public image of Bruce Lee and to his family, both deceased and alive. And it is a very respectful and informative book. I didn't know anything, you know, it doesn't come across like a fawning fanfic of Bruce Lee. Nor is it one of those, oh, this is the real story of Bruce Lee. It's just informative and interesting. I mean, that's the most important thing. It's very interesting, you know, the information and real story, well, where it can be real story of him as a child, which I didn't think. You know, we always think those moments where you hear the urban legends of him fighting on sets and stuff, or challenging people to fights, and you think, oh, that's just cool, isn't it? But it's some of these moments of when he was a child as well, or why, you know, for instance, he was called Bruce Lee, but then he had to change his name when he was a child, and it was years before he was called Yun Fan or Bruce. because Bruce's father was very superstitious and believed there was a curse following the male members of his family.
Probably weren't wrong, was he?
Yeah.
As it turned out.
Yeah. With his mother's reluctant agreement, Bruce was given a girl's nickname, Siphon, meaning Little Phoenix, which was an attempt to fool any demons who might threaten him.
Yeah, I've read that of him. It's kind of interesting. Okay.
Mm, yeah. So, some of the artwork is quite simple through a lot of the pages, but then you get some wonderful sort of watercolour sort of like depictions of him, or like the dragons and stuff, and there's some pages towards the end where you see like shots from the films, and like there's a nice double page spread of where the dragon, where you've got Bruce Lee on one side and you've got Chuck Norris on the other. I didn't realise it took over 45 hours of filming to complete their fight.
Really?
Yeah. And it was shot illegally.
Really?
The final battle scene is one of the most famous on-screen fights ever, but most people don't realise that it took over 45 hours of filming to complete and was shot illegally within Italy's Roman Colosseum.
Okay.
I can imagine that you just give someone a bung and then
you're filming.
Yeah.
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 I think the definitive take on Bruce's life is dragging the Bruce Lee story.
where he's fighting that ghostly samurai.
Ghostly Samurai, yeah. Ghostly Samurai.
Isn't the Gita from like the Gita? Isn't he from Hawaii or something?
He's from Hawaii. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. But he gets the voice spot on, though, I think. So the boy who became a dragon didn't know it existed. Got it gifted, and it's a lovely little story. And I think we haven't really spoken so much about graphic novels within schools and libraries and using those. And I think that's something we should sort of focus on that more. And like I say, I mean, we were speaking off air and the numbers that Scholastic get, they're not numbers that we will.
Raina Talgemeier won at the Eisen Institute for is it Guts or Smile? Yeah. I don't know where it is.
Yeah, it was Guts, I believe.
There's one more Bruce Lee thing aside. In that dragon, the Bruce Lee story, they allude to the fact like he got into that underground fight and like his opponent hit him in the back, and that's what's caused his back injury. And in reality, he tried to do like a deadlift wrong and just done his back in on the weight.
Okay.
So it's not quite so sort of cinematic.
Yeah. So safety first, people.
Yeah, when you're deadlifting or in underground fights.
Yeah, exactly. So that's my one. Okay, Tony.
Last one. Hedra, Jesse Lonergan. Mm-hmm. Image Comics, 479, unfortunately, on Comixology. It's an image book, but it's not necessarily a comic sized. It's more... it's kind of A4 height and slightly wider. So those who anyone who's ever read, is it Entertainment Weekly in the States? It's that sort of magazine, slightly wider format.
This is one I would totally say buy the print book as well when I saw you
hold it up. Don't buy this on Comixology. And Guided View will take you 45 years to read. I'm going to try and describe it firstly, format wise. It's wordless firstly, which we dig a wordless book sometimes, don't we? We've talked about that before. It's drawn on what I'm going to describe as gridded pages. They're not always necessarily the same grid, and that differs. Some single panel, so it might be a grid of 5x5, for example, and on some pages, each image, each section or panel will have a different image in it that is part of a story. However, on most of the pages, that the grid will overlay on a single image. Does that make sense? And dissect it by the panel borders. Yeah. It's a clever technique, and it's one I like very much. The only book I'm going to compare it to is Kingdom by John McNaught. I think there's a little element of that. There's I would say, because slightly the gridded, the many grids, the many panels on a page, but also for the attention to detail on it. Their artwork is slightly different. There's not that sort of printing process kind of look to this by Jesse Lonergan. But I have to say, after reading this immediately, I'm a fan. You feel there's some kind of sort of OCD level planning on each and every page. From a design point of view, it's absolutely beautiful. It is every hard line and every stroke and everything has got a real beauty to it. Whilst it does have this sort of technical drawing element to it, where you've got a gridded page of panels. It also, there's a free line quality to it. There's a sweep and a grace to it as well. There's a flow of panels and a flow of action, and a strange and very quirky personality. Color-wise, he uses quite a limited palette. There's no more than three or four colors on each page, and the pages differ. The palette changes from outer space to planets to different things that happen. It's a really genuinely a book that had me just immediately in love with it. Just some beautiful stuff. The story, the first few pages, you see a load of mushroom clouds where the Earth has become and rockets and missiles arcing across the planet and causing explosions, and you realize this is the end of the world. There's the nuclear end of the world as we used to see it. And you get a shot of Washington, and you get and what looks like, you know, the war room from the Kubrick film.
Yeah.
What's the Kubrick?
Doctor Strangelove.
Doctor Strangelove. Yeah. You know the war room from that.
Yeah.
That is mimicked here. And there's a load of generals and politicians, and they're choosing numbers out of a bag. And number 36 comes up, and it's this female astronaut, and she gets aboard her ship, and there's like an infographic of the insides of this ship. It's very, very cleverly done. And she takes off, and the spaceship looks like those. Does anyone remember the Flash Gordon Buster Crab series where they had that sort of round nodes front? So they were sort of mimicked slightly as looking a bit like knobs in Flesh Gordon, weren't they? It's that sort of retro 50s arty kind of style to it is kind of what the spaceship looks like. Anyway, so she starts traveling through space, and she keeps stopping at planets and taking plant samples and planting plants, and, you know, because her mission is to save the Earth, to come back with something that is going to allow everyone on Earth to survive. And she visits numerous planets, and then she's flying out through deep space, and she's aware of this figure flying beside her, a humanoid figure flying beside her in a white globe of light. And she eventually sees him through the window, and she's looking and sort of thinking, what is that? And then they eventually land on a planet, and she lands on the planet and just about survives it. And she's on this planet that looks like, you know, in all those good cowboy films, there's all these sort of Montana rock outcroppings and all this sort of thing, you know, that sort of, it looks a bit like that, but turned up to 11 with the shapes are all very strange. She's on this rocky planet, and she comes across a sea amongst the rocks, and beyond the sea is this, it looks like an Italian white stone town at the top of a hill, crossed with a sort of alien castle. And she decides to make her way to this castle, but all the while this other character, this flying man, this spaceman, has landed on the planet, and you realize that he can change size, and he to walk across the desert, the rocky desert, he grows in huge sort of giant man. He looks a bit like Giant Man from the Ultimates, actually. Looks like a bit like that.
Yeah.
And grows, and there's a sort of whirring-y, robot-y element to his physique. And he's striding across the landscape, and a load of aliens, like lizardy kind of tribe, trying to regiment, have got cannons, and they fire at him, and they break him, and he's captured by them and put in an underground cavern. And you kind of have to think, what's going to happen after this? Will she save the Earth? Will she find something, maybe a plant or a power source or something, and be able to return to Earth and save Earth? And it does have a finish. It is a single issue. It's a one and done. And there is a finality to what happens. I won't spoil it, because I genuinely think this is going to be a book. This is going to win awards. I'll say now, this is easily one of my favorite books of the year. I've seen since writing what I was going to talk about, I was writing a book. I've gone and looked, and there's a lot of people saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Wow, just okay. utterly beautiful. Dave, if you ever look on your messenger on Facebook, I sent you a couple of images, and I sent you guys a couple of images on WhatsApp just now, and it gives you a good idea of what it's kind of a weird one, isn't it? Because we're an audio medium trying to describe a very visual description of something.
Look at that. That's good. Yeah.
Lovely.
I know, like, Sarah Harris is a huge.
Yeah, she mentioned it.
I've seen this.
Yeah, it came out this week, man. It's getting a little bit of a push on social media. We're seeing it turn up. People are getting it. And I think if you can go and get it, I wouldn't be surprised if this is limited print. You need to go and grab a copy, because I can see this going for a few quid soon. Honestly, it had me so in love with it. It's I'm a sucker for a story, but this has got a design as well. This has got a real consistent design eye. He knows what he's going to go, he's doing. I looked at a couple of Jesse's previous books. He's done a book on baseball, All-Star, it's called. It's it came out of NBM, the publisher.
Yeah, 79p
per issue on Comixology, and it's black and white, and it's very different. It's not quite as polished, not quite as finished as this one. He's got a book coming out in November, another book about, I think it's about a sort of colony in space called Planet Paradise, which is coming out of Image again. Like I say, try and get a physical copy. Go onto eBay, go to your comic shop and buy a copy of it, because it really is worth it. It's a lovely magazine size. It doesn't have a spine, but I'm going to stick it on a shelf because I want it to sit there, yeah, you know, and available. Just absolutely gorgeous book. It's definitely in the top couple for my book of the year. Yeah, amazing.
Oh, wow.
Amazing
nice.
Stuff. Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
That's my one, kids. There you go.
So what a highlight to finish off with this week.
Yeah.
And a week of highlights and fun. And thank you again, Dave, for joining us and joining in on the fun,
Dave,
and the madness. Yep.
Thanks very much. I really enjoyed it, guys.
That's great, man.
Oh, cheers.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
We didn't pay him to say that, so that's all right. but if you want to get in touch with us about anything that we spoke about on this week's show, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We have another email, which, what were we going to use that for? We were talking about before the show.
What was that? Oh, we were going to do for the
competition,
for the story, for the competition story. Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that, Dan?
Yes. The competition we was running on the Facebook group, the comic character, comic
come
series.
Up with a name.
Yeah, yeah, come up with a name. The name has been decided. We're going to release it tomorrow, but if you look at the poll, you'll be able to tell from there. So what we're going to do, well, I'll put the details up in the group, but essentially you're going to pitch your story on the comic name in question. Yeah. Email it to
tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. We'll also probably put that in the post as well. So
yeah, we'll do more detailed post, but essentially you pitch your story on there. We keep it like a really small word count. We're going to put up like a Google Doc with all the entries on it anonymously, so you don't know who's written what. Yeah. And then you'll vote on that entry, and then it will be moving on to the next step. So look out for a post.
Let's keep it to a paragraph, folks. I know as much we get excited and we want it, so because everyone's got to read it. Yeah, you're more likely to be chosen.
Look at,
you've got a nice brief.
Yeah. Back of the DVD box.
Yeah.
Yeah, the most. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
the most.
Yeah. So looking forward to some nice synopsis.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And likewise, follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod, where we'll be probably posting up some artwork. If you do anything based on whatever we talked about this week, we'll post up those cards so you can play along as well. So follow us, or tell everyone you know to follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. Like I say, if you do the Book of Faces, go to facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast and join the community group Awesome Comics Talk, where there's just people just talking about comics, making comics, issues they like, just no hard selling, just all about that. Plus there's competitions on there, so you want to get on board with that, because it's just genuine fun. Thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, subscribe and leave a review. It helps get the word out about everything we talk about every week. And and we're needy and we just want people to tell us they love us. We're also available on other networks, like Spotify, Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. What other networks are we on, Tony?
Well, I don't know if you're aware of this, but Agatha Christie was quite a keen aviator, and she owned not only a number of small planes, but she also owned a runway. And if you go, you can listen to all about that on Pod Agatha Christie's Windsock.
I mean, these are becoming. I mean, this is fucking hell. You're going to need a 10-minute section.
He's taking it on, man.
Yeah,
no, that's good. Yeah. I like the way it's evolving.
Yeah,
thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Yeah, well, you say that because you don't have to edit the show. Anyway, where can people find us and our comics online, Tony?
Tribute Press. .bigcartel.com for all your not safe for work needs.
There you go.
Thank you.
That's all you need to know. Dan Butcher.
You can find me on Twitter @VanguardComic, and you can read Vanguard @VanguardComic.com.
Those new pages are ridiculous, dude. They're absolutely smashing it.
There's a big, massive couple of reveals coming up.
Oh.
Massive.
Ooh. I messaged you. I won't read it. I messaged you about the new one today, didn't I?
Yeah.
About the world you got to live in.
Got to live in that world.
Yeah.
you can find my Instagram comic is @BlackTheComic. That's BLAK, which I had to do a bit of catching up to do and like sort of write some stuff. So that today it's live
again. Yeah, it's love. I love that, man. It's yeah, so yeah. good. And there's a lot of little calls for you to print that. I think you got to start getting on.
Yeah, I would.
Let me just finish. I just want to make sure I can finish it first.
Could I also make clear that just a question from Simon Russell is Vince does not own the copyright to sugardaddy.com. I know he asked on the page.
No.
We wish he did.
That's just what I've got tattooed across my forehead. And you can... and I'll just be posting... I'm trying to dust the rust off and draw some more artwork. So at Jester Diablo on Twitter and Instagram, I'll probably just be posting nothing but artwork for the next week. So I'm just getting to the iPad and just having fun.
Brilliant.
Good stuff.
Dave, once again, where can people find you and your lovely stuff?
Yep, fredeggcomics.com.
That's Fred. Fred, you monsters.
Fred. That's it. Yes, Fred. Yeah. Thank you.
And you can also hear more of Dave on That Comic Smell. So go forth and check them out, because they're nice to us, so we have to be nice to them. I mean, yes. But thank you for listening, folks. It was another fun one. Hope you had fun too. Go forth, have a great week. Stay safe and healthy. The world's getting mad again, so just look after yourselves and be sensible. And stay away from people who aren't being sensible, because there's fucking loads of them about.
Yeah,
and
just know that.
Yeah, just know that we love you. We always love you. And just keep reading comics, keep making comics. Whatever you're doing, just enjoy it, as long as you're not a bastard. have a great week. And as always, what do they do, guys?
Stay awesome.
Stay awesome. Stay awesome.
Hey! That'll do. Back of the net. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
See you later.